Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our morning worship service. Let's begin by standing together and turning to hymn number 349. 349, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. Father, we thank you for this time together. We praise you for bringing us all here today to seek your face and to worship your name, to hear your word preached, and to pray together. Just fellowship as believers, building one another up in our common faith. Thank you, Father, for this hour and the privilege it is to be here. We pray for your blessing on each heart that has come and is on the way as well. And for those who could not be with us today, we pray that you touch and bless them who are not here for various reasons. Father, we pray that your will be accomplished in this hour, that we will be challenged and encouraged and lifted up, have our eyes fixed on Jesus, following him closely, and learning from him today. We pray, Father, that your truth will be proclaimed without apology and without any, not nuance, straight out there. We proclaim the whole counsel of God, and we pray for your blessing on it as that is done in this hour. Father, may your purposes be fulfilled in each of our hearts, and we thank you again for this hour, commit it all to you, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Feel anything else? Nope. Okay. Wonderful. Let's, all right, this morning we're going to look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and reading verses 1 through 20. Okay. Chapter 15 of Matthew. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, that he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said to him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly? Cast out into the drought. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, to know that you are with us to help us in all that we do. Help us to understand what this passage is about and to realize how important it is to obey the commands of God, to walk in the way of righteousness and truth as believers in Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that we might truly do your will. Keep us from sin, our Father. Help us to walk in fellowship with you. Our Father, we thank you so much for all that you are doing in the world today, for the many people who are being reached with the gospel around the world. We thank this morning especially of the March family who are here with us today. We just thank you so much for them, that they were able to come and be here for a while during this season. And we just pray that you'll be with them now as they return to their work. We just thank you for those that they are ministering to and pray that you will use them in a mighty way to encourage and strengthen the believers, to reach those who are unsaved and need to come to Christ. We pray, O Lord, that you will give them the grace and strength, the courage, stamina to keep going. We know it's hard. It's hard there in France. We know that. And we just pray that you will give them that strength and energy that they need to keep going. We thank you for bringing them through some sicknesses and other problems that they faced, and now they are able to go forward. And we ask you to just continue to bless them and all the work that they are doing. Praise your name for your goodness to them, and pray that you'll help them to honor and magnify you in all that what they do. Encourage their hearts. And Lord, we pray for us here in Phoenixville. Lord, we know that we have a great task too, as we think about all the traditions and the other things that people believe and follow after. We know we're certainly not exempt from that. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be able to explain the Word of God in such a way that people will understand, and that they will put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. Our Father, we pray for our country today. We just pray that you'll undertake for us, give us wisdom and understanding and seeking to do your will day by day. Lord, we know. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning, that so often we are lied to over and over again by so many people. It sounds like the truth, but it's not. So we pray, Lord, help us to have the discernment that you would lead us and guide us and show us the truth, and help us to live according to your most holy word. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us. We pray for those who are under the weather or those who are having difficulties. We pray for Annette, that her knee might heal well. We pray for Denny, that you'll help him with everything that he's going through right now, and that this funeral would be a blessing to many. And we do pray, our Father, for Sue, that you'll help her, our Father, that she might put her faith and trust in you completely, that she might truly know you as her Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you so much for all your goodness to us. Lead us and help us now in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's look once again here in Matthew chapter 15. Okay. We're looking here this morning about tradition, or the commandments of God. What are we supposed to follow? Now, what is tradition? According to the dictionary, they give several different definitions. Okay, well, that's a mouthful, isn't it? I got that mixed up. Anyhow, okay, tradition is the transmittal. Of elements of a culture from one generation to another, especially by oral communication. So So many times traditions are passed on from one generation to the next orally, right? Before they're written down or whatever. And customs and usages transmitted from one generation to another are the heritage of a people. They say, well, this is our tradition, you know, this is what we follow. And a body of unwritten religious precepts, or time-honored practice, or a set of such practices. So that's the idea of tradition. We all have our traditions, right? Some good, some bad. And everyone has certain traditions that they follow. They are not necessarily bad unless they conflict with the truth of God's word, right? And so often that's what happens with the traditions that we have. Man has his own way, but God has his way that we need to be following. The word for tradition in the Bible, the Greek word, appears 13 different times in the New Testament. In most cases, it's in a negative sense. Tradition is looked upon as something not to follow. But there are a couple of places where they speak of the scriptures as the tradition that we follow as well. Now, in our scripture for today, the problem is that the disciples of Jesus are not keeping the tradition of the elders. Now, we find here the this was the body of extra-biblical laws and interpretation of Scripture, which had replaced the Scripture in most cases. In the Jewish religion of that day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had their own traditions that they followed more so than the Scriptures themselves, or they interpreted the Scriptures according to their traditions. So man's tradition had replaced God's word. Now here, notice it says that there came certain scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem. These were the guys from the headquarters, you see, and they were following Jesus around wherever he went, trying to find something wrong with what he was speaking about, right? And here, they have been watching the disciples. I did read one thing. It said it could have been because of the feeding of the 5,000. That was before this. And then later it was the feeding of the 4,000, right? And all those people, when they're out there, they don't have a chance to wash their hands. They're out there in the field someplace, you know? And so perhaps these scribes and Pharisees were watching them, and they said they're not following the tradition. And the disciples, too, before they eat their bread, they don't go through all of this ritual. Now, when it says washing their hands, they're not just talking about cleanliness. They had this prescribed way of washing their hands a certain way. It goes through all this different procedure. You had to have your hands up, and then you had to have your hands down, and all these kind of things, you know, making sure it's a ceremony. And they insisted that everyone follow this procedure, following the tradition of the elders. And so they observed the disciples did not do this. They did not follow the ritual before eating. And this was important. To them it was. This was not for cleanliness, as I say, but an elaborate religious practice that they were doing. Paul speaks of it in Galatians 1:14. He says, "For you have heard of my conversation, my conduct, in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." See, Saul followed the traditions of the fathers, the elders, and sought to put that above everything else. Before his conversion, he was careful to follow all of the traditions. Also in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The apostle reminds believers here that it is the blood of Christ that saves us from our sins. He shed his blood on Calvary that we might be redeemed. He's made the sacrifice for our sins. And that's what we have to depend upon to wash away our sins, is the precious blood of Jesus. Not any tradition or anything that we could ever do. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he has saved us by the washing of regeneration, new birth, and keeping and having the truth of God. So here we have the Pharisees confront Jesus with this question. They say, "Why do your disciples not keep the tradition of the elders?" And notice Jesus doesn't answer them. Did you notice that? He doesn't tell them why they do it. He changes the subject and says something that's very important. He says, rather, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" There it is. Right? What are we going to follow? Are we going to follow the tradition, or are we going to follow the commandments of God? And here Jesus is making that abundantly clear to them. He takes this opportunity to point out the difference between the traditions of men and the commandments of God. He calls them what? Hypocrites. He says that, "You hypocrites." Where is that? Verse 7. "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching what? For doctrines, the commandments of men." You see? Instead of teaching God's word, they're teaching the commandments of men. And he says, "You are hypocrites." Oh yes, you say, "I love God," but then show that you don't by not following his word. So this is what Jesus is taking this opportunity to show them what they need to be doing, to live for the Lord and to serve him. So externally they honor God, but they have no real love for him, right? They're only doing what they want to do. They're playing a part. Hypocrites. That's what hypocrites mean, right? Actors, play actors. Here we are doing what we want to do, saying, "Oh yes, I'm doing God's will," right? And yet, that's important. They are playing a part for all to see, but not worshiping God from their hearts. They place their own ideas above the word of God. And Jesus gives the example here of the commandment. Notice which one he takes. He says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Okay? Tradition, according to the Pharisees and Sadducees and the people of that day, their idea was they could take and give a gift to the temple, and instead of using their resources to help their parents. That's what's happening here. You see, and isn't that a pious thing to do? Hey, my goodness, we're giving this. You know, but they still had the control of it. That's a strange thing, right? They still had control of everything. They're just saying, this is a gift I give to God, you know? It was all made up. And Jesus says, you are a bunch of hypocrites. You're not doing what God told you to do. You're supposed to honor your father and your mother. And thinking of that, how long are we supposed to honor our father and mother? Is it just when you're little kids, you go around and you do what they tell you to do, right? Or what about when you become an adult? Do you still have some reason to honor your father and mother with whatever they need, especially when they get old? Who's supposed to care for the parents? Well, Jesus said, you are, right? We're all responsible to honor our father and mother in every way we possibly can. But tradition says, oh, if you give it to God, then you're all right. But he says, no, that's just an excuse. That's a hypocritical attitude that these people had. That's a direct violation of God's commandment. This is one of the Ten Commandments, right? Sure, we're not under the Ten Commandments. How about that, huh? But does that excuse us from caring for our parents? No, it does not. And Jesus here is the authority telling us that we have to obey what the Word of God says. It's not that we're not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. Don't get me wrong. I'm not implying that at all. But there is a guide there for us to follow and to seek to do God's will. So he explains this to them. And then he goes down and talks about food here now. This is the question they ask originally. Jesus explains to the people here that what we eat does not defile us spiritually. You know, and I don't know, people get all hung up on this, and especially the Jewish people, because they had all the dietary laws of the Old Testament, right? Are we still under that? What do you think? He says we're not, right? We can eat whatever we like. And sometimes we eat things we don't like, right? But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We find he's saying the most important thing is to have a pure heart before God. What goes into our bodies is not as important as what comes out of our mouth and our actions, the way we live our lives. It's not what we eat. They were all hung up on these material things, but he says the most important thing is that your heart is right with God and that you are following him. This is the most important thing. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. See? And so sin, which comes from within, is what defiles a person, right? That's the most important thing. And the disciples who were following Jesus, seeking to do his will, were not sinning by not washing their hands before they ate. That's what he's saying here. And I think sometimes we get hung up on certain things, don't we? On, you know, the actions that we do and so forth, or what we... People think about eating, for example. Some people are vegetarian, right? Some people are meat eaters. Some people eat everything, you know what it is. But he says that's not the important thing. The important thing is that you have your life seeking to obey the word of God, seeking to follow him and to live a life that is in keeping with him. He doesn't care what we eat. You know, you might be careful, though. Sometimes some of the things we eat might not set too well. You ever have any of those problems? We find here he's saying that the most important thing is what comes out of our life. The disciples still didn't fully understand what Jesus was talking about, and so he explains it to them. He says, we are defiled not by what we eat, but by what is in our hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. The Lord knows what's in our hearts, right? And even though we might try to hide it. And he is able to help us to overcome the sins of the flesh and things of that nature. Notice it is from within our minds and hearts that sin originates. That's what he says here. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Jesus lists 13 sins that come from the heart. He makes it clear that man must be clean inside, first of all. You know, and we are clean, what? Through the blood of Christ and through the word of God as we obey it. All of the dietary laws and ceremonial washings do nothing to change a man's heart. All the traditions and things that follow. By nature, man is a sinner and can never be changed by some external practice. We can't, I'm going to turn over a new leaf, and we're going to be better people, right? No, that doesn't work that way. He must be cleansed on the inside. And this can only be done by the power of God as he draws us to himself and brings us to salvation, working through the word, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, it's the word. And we have to have the word of God in order to truly know God. That's the only revelation we have, is the Bible, right? How can we know God if we don't have the word to read and study and learn of that? The traditions of man's do not cover it. Jesus said in another place, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So it's the word of God, right? Warren Wiersbe has a good summary about this, talking about the word and our hearts and all of that. He says, we must constantly remind ourselves that true religion comes from the heart. We believe with the heart. It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then we love from the heart. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. We sing from the heart. It says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Then we obey from the heart. Romans 6:17. It says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Then we give from the heart, 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then it says, we pray from the heart. David prayed over in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our heart, the most innermost part of our being, right, the core, is where it's all about, our minds and hearts. And we need to keep that, guard it diligently, and follow the teachings of the Word of God rather than the ways of the world, the traditions, and things that people seek to live by. We need to make sure that our life is dwelt upon the Word of God. Our Father, thank you this morning for the precious Word of God that we have before us, and pray that you'll help us to live according to it and to do your holy will. Cleanse us from every sin, our Father, and help us to be faithful to you in all that we do and say. May Christ Jesus, our Lord, be with us to guide us and help us in everything that we do. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who has never put their faith and trust in Jesus, we pray that this would be the day of salvation for that person. May your holy will be done, O Lord. And we pray that we would keep our hearts with all diligence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.